Let's take your Bible. Let's go over to 1 John, if you will. Last week we got started in this little letter, and I think we made good progress last week. We may or may not make as good this week, but we'll give what we got. Beginning in verse 1, let's review before we get into the fifth verse and the new material. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, is the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We talked a little bit about an old fellow by the name of John, who walked and talked and listened to the Lord, and how he brings that out in this particular letter. That there's a lot of repeating that he does in here, and the repeating's on purpose to make sure we get it, have an understanding of what he's trying to tell us. He tells us that the Lord gave them what they needed, and that at this point he wants to pass that along and to unfold the mysteries of Christ for those that'll listen, for those that'll take the teaching. And so he sets the groundwork here by saying and talking about God coming in the flesh, how appropriate it is at this time of year. Amen. Very appropriate what he's talking about in the first few verses, that God came in the flesh. And not only did he come in the flesh, he was not apart from us, he was among us. And as he was among these folks there, they talked with him, they touched him, they listened to him, and he taught them the things that they needed to be passed on. And so now John is saying, I need to pass some things on to you as well. That's what this word declare means, to unfold a truth. And there's many facets of the truth that the Lord shared with these men that he walked this planet with. And so they have opportunity. Many of them had opportunity to write about these things and to give us the things that we need. The first John is written for us. And when I say for us, it's written for believers. And it's written for us so that our joy be full, so we'd be certain of our salvation, and so that we'd live that salvation out in a way that would be pleasing, in a way that would be honoring. And so what he's done here is he's laid it down for the folks back in the day that thought that God was a distant entity of some kind off out there, tottering around on clouds, billowing through the sky, and was unconcerned about man and what he was doing down here. That he got things started and went on vacation and he'd be back someday. But John kind of puts that to bed and says, no, God's very concerned. He's so concerned about us that he sent his son. And his son came in the flesh, put on flesh for eternity for our sakes. And so he nails that down and puts away all the junk that came with it. And now when he come into verse 5, as we start going down through the rest of the epistle here, again for believers, and give us assurance and to tell us what the foundations are. The next few verses here through to the end of the chapter here, he starts out with a description of God, and he talks here about what it means to have a genuine faith, the real deal. Here's the real deal about faith, is what he shares right off the bat. So he's telling us who this messenger is and how the truth come, putting aside a bunch of junk, and he says, now we're going to get started, and I need to tell you who he is. I'm going to give you just a little preview of who he is real quick, and then I'm going to go from there to tell you what real faith looks like, genuine faith looks like, the real deal looks like. And I think this is appropriate the way that he puts it in here, like this, because if we don't get these first couple of verses and kind of get an idea of what the foundation is that we're building on right here, it's going to be hard to finish the race. Okay, a lot of races are lost at the start. You sprinters know that you don't get a good start, you're not going to win this thing. You got to get a good start because everybody in the field is a pretty good runner. And so you got to get a good start. You got to work on that start. And once you get started, then things kind of go according to the way you got them started. But you got to start right. Okay. We got a lot of folks that didn't start right. We got a lot of folks in church that don't have a good start. Didn't get started at all. They picked up in the middle of the race. Picked up in the middle of things and are swimming around, thrashing around, but they didn't get started right. Okay? And the reason that I say that is because we got a lot of folks that come in and they look like they're on fire and blazing, buddy, working like a dog. And then later on, you can't hardly find them. You don't know where they went. You don't know what happened to them. They just kind of come here like a comet blazing across the sky. And then it went dark and nobody knows where they are or what they're doing anymore. What happened there? Might have been the start. Might not have got started right. And that's where I'm going to put my money. That they didn't get a good start. You get a good start, it'll give you a good race. You get what you say you got, or what you telling people you got, it's going to make a difference in your life. And that's what he gets into right off the bat. He wants us to understand, we better get this thing started right, because you get it started wrong, everything's going to go wrong down through here. So genuine faith has a start. Genuine faith has a start, and it has to be built on a foundation. And he gives that foundation right off the bat here in verse 5. Okay? In verse 5, he gives the foundation for all of it. This then, in light of what I've just said right here in these first four, this then is the message that we have heard of him, whom we've touched and seen and handled and all this stuff. This is the message we've heard of him, and we're declaring unto you. We're going to unfold this message to you. What is the message? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now that just seems like, oh, isn't that pretty? Isn't that a pretty little saying that we got there? God's light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, good, fine. Now let's move on to something that'll help me. Well, he helped you right here. He helped you right off the bat, okay? Because he wants you to know who God is. God is light. And there is no darkness in him. There is absolutely no darkness in God. He is light. He is brilliance. He is illuminated and illuminating. Where he is, there is no chance of darkness whatsoever. No opportunity for darkness to creep in. No opportunity for sin to creep in there. This is important. God's light. And in him is no darkness at all. Period. What is that saying? Let's say it another way. That's saying that God is holy. God is holy. Holy. So he's setting up the foundation of holiness right off the bat. And holiness is defined as being light with no darkness. Holiness is light with no darkness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is light, 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 and there's no darkness in him. No possibility of darkness in him at all. Not now, not then, not ever. Is there ever going to be any darkness in him? Never was there, never will there be in him. Holy, holiness, holy in all of this. The foundation for everything is that we have to understand his holiness. We have to understand his holiness, at least to some degree, as much as we're able to. We have to understand that he's holy, that he's light, that there is no darkness in him. Okay, he has come. He came here. He taught us. He taught us, and what he told us was this, that we needed to declare this to you, that we needed to unfold this truth to each and every one of you as believers, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Got it? He's holy. Absolutely holy. Now, we link that. Let's take a step. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. A lot of people think that old John, that he, in his later years, that he just got that love thing all carried away. And, you know, they want to paint him sometimes with curly hair and make him real feminine looking. I'm going to tell you what, you go back into the Gospels there, and he had a nickname back there. And I'm going to tell you, he's putting it straight out on the line right here. He's not beating around the bush with this. He's saying, if you say that you have fellowship with him, if you say that you have fellowship with him, huh? Those are important words. If you say, okay? If you say that you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness. How many of you are walking in darkness, by the way?
Any sin is darkness.
Hello? How many of us are walking in darkness tonight? Ta-da! We have to be honest about some things, don't we? And that's what he's getting at right here. We have to be brutally honest with ourselves. You got to be brutally honest with yourselves, or you're not going to be genuine in this faith. You're not going to be genuine as you pass along this path right here. You cannot lie to yourself. You deceive yourself if you tell yourself that there's something else going on with you. You got to be straight up with yourself if you're going to have a genuine faith. And you're going to get started right in that faith. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Okay, so much going on with all of this right here. Let me see here if I can. I got a lot of thoughts about how that ought to go. You got your phone with you? Sweet. Look up the Constitution. Constitution of the U.S. of A. All right, come go with me. Come go with me for a minute. Let me set this up for just a minute here. Fellowship, we're walking in this and we're walking in that and walking in the other. Back in Genesis chapter 5, says that there was a fellow there by the name of Enoch. What was Enoch's claim to fame? Beautiful. There have been some people reading their Bible around here. Chapter 6, there was another fellow by the name of Noah. Was or was not the same thing said of him? Same thing? Well, there's two in Scripture that it said that they walked with God. And that's Enoch and Noah. Kind of a trick question. I was trying to get you messed up with that one right there.
Now, Noah was a man who had faith.
Yes, sir.
How would you like for him to tell you to build something you never heard of, and it take you over 100 years to do it, you do it every day?
Yes, sir. I'd love to have the wherewithal to be able to do it for 100 years. Let me try that. So we got these two guys. They walk with God. Amos, in chapter 3 and verse 3, he says there, can two... What is it?
Walk
together, except they be
agreed.
Yeah. Well, I'm King James in it, okay? Except they be agreed, okay? So we got two, except they be agreed. They cannot walk together, all right? And this is what we're talking about in the setup of this, that God is holy, and what He desires is to have fellowship with us. Fellowship is a walk with God. That's what He's trying to get across to us, this walk and this fellowship that we have here, and this start and this genuine faith that we're supposed to have is predicated on us understanding that God is holy, that in Him He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And then we have to make we have to inspect ourselves, and we have to examine ourselves, but we have to understand what's in us, okay? I can't get to the words. Get to what's in us. So, this walking with God is what is going to happen when we examine ourselves and we understand that there is sin in us, and that sin has to go someplace. And we have to understand that somebody came from outside to come in here and take care of that sin problem, because there wasn't none of us that could do it. Yes? None of us could handle it. None of us could deal with it, could do anything with it. Somebody from outside had to come to this side in order to deal with that. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what He's talking about in the front end of it. Deity came, did what He did because He loved us and made a way for us to have fellowship and to walk together and to be agreed and to be in agreement as we walk through here. And so that we're to walk in the light, we're to be walking in that light, letting that light shine on us, being aware and conscious of what's going on with us, and that light ferreting out what is in us, and understanding that in us is darkness that needs to be ferreted out, that needs to be discovered, illuminated, shown to us, so that we can deal with that, so that our fellowship with Him can be the right kind of fellowship. Look, when we walk together, just don't pay no attention to that for right now, okay? But when we walk with the Lord, like Enoch walked with Him, and like Noah walked with Him, you see, and it, you know, two walking together, and we're agreed with things, and that's kind of what we're doing right here, right now. There's one of us that's, you know, kind of leading the process, but the other one is in touch, and we're in tune, and so it's not really a stressful thing with anything, because He's pretty much given up His will to me, and He's letting me do what I want to do, and He's allowing me to be the boss of all of that. How you doing? Yeah, we're getting weird here tonight. Yeah. So He's doing real well, isn't He? I think He's doing pretty good. He's picking up on the subtle clues that I have about what, you know, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. And how that's going to be. And that's exactly what the Lord wants out of us, to be in fellowship, in agreement with how we go through all of these things. Now, let's try it a little different. You ready?
Sure.
Now get your phone out and read the Constitution, because that's something you like to do in your spare time, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Aloud?
Yeah, just read it aloud.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Article 1, Section 1, all legislative powers here.
It's not working quite as good now, is it?
In the Congress of the United States.
Is it working quite as good?
Shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives.
Not working as quite as good, because He's not in touch with me and I'm not in touch with Him. And the reason that it's not working quite as good now as it was the first time is because we're not in touch like that, and because He's doing His own thing. He's doing His own thing, and He's distracted. He's distracted from the relationship and from what I'm doing. He's slow on the pickup with what I'm trying to put out there. Oh, He's doing it eventual, but He's slow on the pickup with that. You with me so far? Thanks, Bart. This idea of the Christian life is this idea, where we're in touch and in contact with the Lord, and we are walking with Him. We are in agreement with Him. Agreement with Him about our light, life, about the darkness that's in our light. We are honest with Him. We're open with Him. We're allowing Him to inspect and put the light on us and to show us what we are and what we're really made of, and allowing us to agree with Him that things are wrong in our life so that we can get in step with Him and so that He can move us where He wants us to be. This is part and parcel of the real genuine faith that we're supposed to have. Real and genuine life and faith that we're supposed to have. Our distractions, the Constitution, the life, these other things that are going on out here, they are just exactly that. They're distractions. They distract us from the main thing, which is the relationship that we're supposed to have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship that we're supposed to have with Him moving through here. And one of the things that causes us that great big problem is that we deceive ourselves at times by saying that by deceiving ourselves and thinking that we don't have darkness in us. We don't allow the Lord to illuminate the things that need to be illuminated in our life so that they can be dealt with. And that starts at the very beginning. It starts at the very beginning of this faith. Because so many times we want to bring people in the middle rather than at the start. The start of the faith is to understand that I am a sinner lost and undone. I am a sinner and I am lost and there is no hope for me. I am not God. He is. There is no darkness in Him and there is darkness in me. And that's the reason He had to come here, is because there's darkness in me. There was none in Him. And He came to take care of the darkness that was in me. The beginning of the faith is exactly that. I am a sinner, lost and undone. And I am done without Jesus Christ. I am done without a Savior. You see, He's holy. I'm not. And if we don't start there, then we start wrong. If we start with, I believe in the Lord. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you. I believe in the Lord. If we start believing in the Lord and we don't start with the foundation of we're lost and done, then we started in the middle. And when you start in the middle and you miss the beginning, when you get to the end, it's not going to go well for you. So He lays it out for us right here. And He's saying, I'm holy, you're not. Get started right and don't deceive yourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How many times do we overlook stuff in our life? How often do we overlook stuff that's in our life and we think it's no big deal because we have a God that saved us and He's forgotten and He's removed that sin and all these things and, you know, it's no big deal. He winks at that anyway. But we have to go back to verse 5 because God don't wink at that. He does not wink at that sin. He says that He's light and in Him is no darkness at all. And if you're going to have fellowship with Me, we better take care of the darkness that's in you. I know it's there, the Lord says. You're the one that don't think it's there. You're the one that's covering it up. I know it's there. And you know what? You know it's there. And your neighbor knows it's there. And your family knows it's there. But you're the only one covering it up. And so what's happening is you're the one, only one that's doing any deceiving, and the only person you're deceiving when you cover it up is who? Jesus. Is you. Everybody else is well aware of it. How many times do we see people that think that would make the portrayal or the picture that, buddy, they hadn't sinned in the last 12 years? Would lead you to believe by their conduct and by the way that they present themselves that it's been at least a decade since they did anything wrong. Who are you deceiving? You're deceiving yourself. Everybody else knows better. And I don't care how good a Christian you are in here tonight. Well, I do care. But it don't matter how good a Christian you are in here tonight, I know something about you. You have sin in your life. There's some things, if you'll get honest and you'll get with the Lord and you'll ask Him and you'll be honest with Him and you'll be open with Him, that He'll show you something. He'll show you. If you ask Him, Lord, what is there in me? Is there any wicked way in me? Show me this wickedness. Show me what it is. He'll show you. And the reason He'll show you is so you'll ask for forgiveness. So you'll repent of it. And so that y'all can be agreed about it. That's what that agreement part is about. Agreement is, I'm going to go with you, Lord. What you say about things, I'm just going to go with that instead of what I say about it. I'm going to go with that. You know, we got people that'll excuse all kinds of things in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. They'll excuse things. Well, you know, God is a God that loves, and He loves us all. Well, yeah, but He's holy. But He's holy. And you best not be counting on that deal right there to keep you keep your fat out of the fire. Huh? Because He's just. He's a holy God. And He is light, and there's no darkness in Him at all. And He don't want darkness around. And He wants you to be honest. He wants you to be straight up and to deal with that. So it starts with this faith process, starts with genuineness. And the genuineness of this faith that we're in has to start with me being genuine about who I am. In His presence. He has been straight honest with us. I'm light. There's no darkness in me. What about you? How about you? You okay with that? You going to leave that there? You going to live with that? You're going to excuse that you've got in you there? If you're going to do that, me and you aren't going to get along. We're not going to get along at the beginning. And then if we come in at the beginning and we repent of that sin and we ask Him by faith to come in and be the Lord and Savior of my life, and we start that process right, He says, here's what I want. I want you to walk with me every day now. I want you to walk with me, and we're going to have conversations and we're going to go back and forth with things. You see, we get this idea of the Bible all messed up too, about, you know, oh, these things that we, you know, we read it and we're talking about obey and we talk about all these other things and we have all our different ideas of how of what this all means. And what He's really only trying to do is to get us to walk with Him. That's what He's trying to do, is get us to walk with Him for the rest of our days. Okay, how does this play out? What does this mean to me? What does this mean in my relationship with the Lord? As I read these things and as I study these things and as I grow in these things, what does that mean? It's not some checklist that I'm supposed to be going down and, you know, and giving it the checks. These things are here and written for me so that I can evaluate my relationship with Him, and in that evaluating that I can deal with the darkness that is revealed. And when I deal with that darkness, and I repent of that and ask for forgiveness and get that cleansing that he provides for these things, and I don't deceive myself into thinking that I'm okay when I'm not, then I can walk with Him in agreement and buddy. Even though I might go through the storms of life, it is like we're in lockstep, and He is holding me and I am holding Him, and there is a comfort and there is an assurance and there is a love and there is all kinds of things there that just cannot be explained when you're living it. But there's a coldness and a hardness and an anxiety and pressure and all kinds of things when we're not being honest and open and having that genuine and real faith that we're supposed to have. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're a bunch of liars when we cover that up. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. That's even worse when it comes right down to it. If we say we haven't sinned, what we're really saying is, God, you're a liar because He done told us that we were. Huh? And our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked and above all these things, it says. And all that does is just come out in this. So He's giving us a platform to start with. I'm holy. I'm holy. And I'm not going to put up with darkness. I can't and I won't put up with darkness. Don't care who you are. And something's got to give with that. And if we're going to start a relationship, there's going to have to be some admission on your part. You're going to have to make admission. You're going to have to lay it down proper. And when we do, and we start off in the genuine faith, then He says, now we're going to keep that up. Now we're going to just continue that. We're going to keep this going. We're going to keep this going. We're going to keep this going. Okay? Important process. We got too many that start in the middle, and they're going to wind up at the end, and it's not going to go well. Let me give you an example, an idea of that. You take a counterfeit $10 bill. You don't know it's a counterfeit. You got it in your pocket, and you go out and you buy $10 worth of gas for your lawnmower. That'll just barely fill up my gas can, $10. Go out and buy me some gas for my lawnmower with that, and I pay the folks in there at the store with that $10 bill, and I go home and I'm going to mow my grass and do some good work with that, right? Well, I passed off that counterfeit bill. Old boy there in the store, he receives it, puts it in the till. Next thing you know, one of his vendors comes through and he has to pay for something. He whoops out some money there and that $10 bill's in amongst it. And so he pays for some of his supplies that come through with that $10 bill. It's still counterfeit, but boy, he's done some good with it too, hadn't it? He's moved it on. It's done some good. It's paid for some supplies and all that sort of thing. His supplier takes that, puts it in his pocket. He goes home. He's an independent retailer, and he goes home, and his wife sends him to the store and needs a gallon of milk, loaf of bread. That ought about cover that tin, right? And so he goes to the checkout counter, and he whoops that $10 bill out, and he lays it on the counter there, and they sack up his milk, and they sack up his bread and send him on his merry way. He's happy. His wife's going to be happy. He's done his good thing. They're going to eat that night. The grocer takes everything out of the till that night, and he puts that one tin with 49 more in another in a wrapper, and he takes it to the bank. When he gets to the bank, lays it all out. They look down through there, and that cashier there at the bank says, "Whoa, hoss, we got a problem. That $10 bill right there is no good. We're rejecting that thing right there." This is like counterfeit Christianity. If you start the wrong place, it's the same thing. You can do all kinds of good with a $10 bill. A lot of people can get good at it, and a lot of good things can take place. But when you get to the far end down there, and you try to put that in the bank, you try to put that in the depository at the far end of this thing, and it's a counterfeit, guess what? It's going to be rejected. You might as well go right on back to the beginning, you see. That's what this book is talking about. It's talking about, let's get started right. This is how you get started right. You deal with things right. And if you do that, then you can continue right all the way down through, all the way to the bank. You can take it to the bank with you. Otherwise, when you get there, the Lord is going to stand there and say, "Depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you." Huh? And so it's important what He's putting in here. We've seen Him. We've touched Him. We've handled Him. He is God that has come in the flesh. Now let me tell you what the foundation is for a relationship with Him. The foundation is that He's holy and we're not. And the quicker we get that in our eyes, in our head, the quicker that we get that through our thick skull, the quicker we can get started on a life of genuine faith. We are a sinner, lost and undone. It has to start there. It has to start with repentance. Your faith has to start there. You cannot start any other way. You start in the middle, it's a counterfeit. Be rejected when you get to the far end. So, there are consequences to sin, yes, for believers, for a believer and for a counterfeit. There are consequences to things in this life. Believers mess up. We do. Okay? And all of our armpits stink. Okay? It's just the same principle. We're sinners, and we have to be aware of that. And we have to not just aware, but we have to make that understand that's part of who we are. And we can't overlook that. We have to understand we are not holy. He is holy, but He provides power for us through this fellowship that we have to be able to walk through this life as we should. When we mess up, there are consequences to that, but we can clean the slate off. The consequences may not go away, but we can clean the slate off with God and continue with fellowship, even though consequences have to be a part of our life. So that when we get to the end, we can be accepted in the Beloved. Amen? All the way through. So this is the story that we have before us. How you stay in good fellowship. That's what this end of this first chapter is about. How do I maintain the fellowship? First thing you want to do is make sure you're saved. Make sure you're saved. Bible saved. Not self-saved. Not what you think saved. But how God says through His Word that you're saved. That you come through repentance. The birth canal of salvation. Come through repentance. Be born again, He says. And move through this fashion. And then we walk with Him by getting cleaned up regular when we recognize that there's darkness in us. And that darkness has to go. Those things have to leave. So a real simple message, something you already knew. But I'm reminding you of where we are. Check your salvation. Get that right. And then we go from there. All right? So He's building on that. Right off from the beginning. That's all I got for you tonight. Thoughts, comments, or complaints as we wrap.